Hello and welcome once again to At the Table with Gail. I'm Peter Fleming and it's my pleasure to introduce Cook of the Week, Gail Hall.
Cook of the Week.
Cook of every week, Gail Hall. Hello, Gail.
I love that. Hello, Peter. Yes, well, we have got quite a bit today and I think we're going to have a really good chat about some experiments we've done with our food. But first of all, we're going to lead off with Better For You chicken soup, and it looks absolutely beautiful. It's got a lot of stuff in it, so we're going to kick off with that. Then next we're going to talk about the chocolate berry molten cakes that we didn't fit in last week, and then we move on to using an air fryer, and I've got a recipe for that as well. So we have a little chat about air fryers, and then we're going to lead into the easy plum pudding to end the show.
Sounds good.
Does. Yep.
Now then, I've got a bit of feedback here, which I think you'll find interesting, and I hope listeners do as well.
Right.
It's a slight variation on one you did a few weeks ago, back in the middle of July. Pesto salmon and asparagus lasagna.
Oh, yes, I do remember that one.
Yeah. Now, we made that at the time. I think my wife made it, and we reported back on it. And that was as per the recipe.
That's right.
With salmon pieces and things.
Correct.
Now, Claire cooks for the hospice, and she picks up on some of these recipes, and she liked this one. But she thought it's too expensive with salmon, and therefore with that sort of salmon. So she made it last night, and so the asparagus spears are tinned.
All right,
okay. Because there are no fresh ones at the
moment.
No, of
course not.
They're still quite expensive, but she bought the asparagus spears tinned. Creme fraiche. And a tin of salmon, tin of pink salmon.
Oh.
Not fresh salmon.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, I think you've virtually halved the price then.
Of course you have.
And you've got pasta lasagna sheets here. The last time she made it, she used the fresh ones.
Yeah, that's right. You mentioned that.
And they were very, very disappointing.
Oh.
Like soft cardboard.
Right.
So this time she bought the dried ones, thinking that she might have to cook them a bit first and soften them. But no, it said don't do that.
No.
So she followed your recipe, but she did put a little bit more creme fraiche in. And a bit more milk.
Right.
So a bit more liquid to moisten
it. To moisten it, yeah.
And fabulous.
Oh, well, there you are.
I've got a photograph of it. I'll post it. But it really, it was just as good.
Oh,
and,
good.
And I would say quite a bit cheaper. So she's going to cook that for the people at the hospice next week.
Oh, very nice. Now, tell me, did she put the liquid in of the asparagus from the tin?
I doubt it.
Oh, okay. I just wondered because, you know, with the moisture with the dried lasagna sheets. Yeah, and I've used those dried lasagna sheets before, and I've been tempted to actually think, oh, you know, they're pretty stiff. I think I better cook, but I haven't, and they are. They're good.
Yeah, and I think if you're in a normal sort of lasagna where you're putting lots of liquid in, but this perhaps wasn't quite so obvious. But anyway, she had no problem making it, just added that thought, a bit more liquid, and it really was
very, very nice.
And I would say relatively cheap, really.
Well, compared to the other. Well, if the listeners, you know, see that on our Facebook page, they can know that after listening to you to actually adjust it if they want to.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's good. Ours is a guide.
It's a guide.
Yeah, it is. And you can sort of play with it if you like.
Follow us, you won't go far wrong.
No, that's right. I've actually got a little bit to say too. I decided to cook myself some buckwheat and cottage cheese pancakes, which is one of our recipes. And that's on the Facebook page too as well. I've brought some in for Peter, but he hasn't done the taste test. So I'm not going to comment too much, but I actually had one. And it was very, very nice with bananas and golden syrup over it. So lovely. But I'll talk about that maybe next time when you've spoken, because
right,
there's a few little things that I want to say about that too as well. So we'll pick up on that when you've tried them.
Now you, but just, I did notice that the buckwheat is quite readily available in the supermarkets. I think I looked last week after the program, so that's worth knowing.
Also. Oh, and another thing, the mushrooms risotto, I decided to replace the barley with brown rice. So basically, success.
And I've got a taster of that sitting in the fridge as well.
I've been a busy girl.
I think that's a good idea. Well, I was going to be busy making scones, but I just didn't get the time, but I'm going to.
Yeah. So should we start off today, do you think?
Over to you.
Okay. So this is called Better For You Chicken Soup. And looking at the illustration, it's just full of goodness. So we're looking at 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 leek diced, 2 stalks of celery diced, 2 carrots diced, 1 zucchini diced, 2 garlic cloves crushed, 1 tablespoon of fresh thyme leaves. Now, I'm just going to stop there because I haven't got any thyme, and I've been replacing thyme with I did actually once upon a time dry my own thyme. So I've got a jar of that. So I actually used that for the thyme in the mushroom risotto. So it's actually dried thyme. But so you can replace it with that.
I was going to dry some, but I didn't have time.
It's the story of our lives. 2 dried bay leaves, 1 litre of chicken stock. Now, 1/3 of a cup of white quinoa. And 400 gram can of cannellini beans, rinsed and drained, 1.5 cups of shredded cooked chicken, 150 grams of broccoli cut into small florets, and of course 2 stalks of silver beet, stems diced and the leaves shredded, and of course crusty bread to serve.
White quinoa?
Yes.
What's that?
Well, I think it looks like, now what can I say, not a small version of barley, I would say, but it's not as solid. A bit like a lot of people have it for breakfast. And okay. Using the buckwheat flour that I did this morning, I could imagine it just being a little bit sort of more bulky than the buckwheat.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And is that available?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
quinoa.
Yeah, okay. Quinoa. Yeah.
New one on me.
Yeah, sometimes people use it as a breakfast cereal.
Right.
Now, what we're doing is heating the oil in a large saucepan over medium heat. Cook the leek, stirring 5 minutes or until starting to soften. Add the celery, carrot, zucchini. Cook, stirring for 5 minutes or until the veggies start to brown. Add the garlic, thyme and bay leaves. Cook for 1 minute or until fragrant. You can smell that beautiful, aroma. Add stock and 2 cups of water. Season with salt and pepper, cover, bring to the boil, reduce heat to low and simmer for 10 minutes. Add your quinoa, your beans, chicken and cover and simmer for 10 minutes more. Add the broccoli and silver beet and simmer for 5 to 10 minutes or until the quinoa is tender and silver beet is wilted. And look, you've got a beautiful soup. And served that with some beautiful crusty bread. Now, this is truly colourful.
Oh, yeah, because it's still in its lump format.
That's right. We haven't put our blender in it.
Whizzed it.
No, you haven't whizzed it. I quite like chunky soups.
Yes, and I would say that, again, I tend to look at these from a sort of cost point of view. And people these days not find it quite so easy. And nothing particularly expensive in there, because if you buy shredded cooked chicken from the supermarket, that's really cheap.
Yeah, I just brought some because I am going to make, I might have that for tea tomorrow night when I've got a visitor, so I haven't decided yet.
And that's a hearty bowl.
It is a hearty bowl. Now, talking about that, with the mushroom, no, it must have been another soup I made that had beans in it. I was quite surprised when they said, oh no, the cauliflower leek and the lemon, I think that's got... yellow beans.
Oh yes, I think
yellow beans. And but anyway, they don't sell fresh yellow beans. They were actually beans in a can. Butter beans.
Yeah,
in a can.
Yeah.
And when it said put the blender in, I thought, oh, that means I've got to squash up all these butter beans that I put in them. But anyway, that's what it said, and I can see why now, because they're sort of like a broad bean, aren't
they?
Yeah, they are. But they call them butter beans.
Yes.
Don't know why,
but because they don't taste like butter beans.
No, that's right. In fact,
possibly if you do whiz them up a bit, perhaps they do go a bit creamy.
Thickens, yeah, creamy. Yeah, it does. Mm. Yeah, it was quite a creamy soup. I don't think you got a taste of that, did you?
No,
sorry. Okay, moving
you
on.
You don't sound very sorry.
Moving on now. Now, I know these chocolate berry molten cakes that Peter did make them, and I've got the recipe here. So did you post a picture to for the Facebook page?
Yes, well, I sent it in. So,
okay, so we'll see. So shall I give this instructions to you,
and then I'll tell you not
what
to do.
And you tell me about, yeah, okay.
Or what not to do.
Okay, so we're starting off with 75 grams of butter, 75 grams of good quality dark chocolate, roughly chopped, so that'll be interesting to hear what you used, 2 eggs, 1/4 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of flour, 1 tablespoon of cocoa powder, 1/4 of a teaspoon of baking powder, pinch of salt, and 4 rounded teaspoons of berry jam. Now what you're doing is you're preheating the oven to 200 degrees Celsius. Grease 4 ramekins, cup ramekins, or a small oven-proof dishes. But I'm just going to throw in, Peter did do them in ramekins. So place the ramekins into an oven dish for easier handling. Place the butter and chopped chocolate in a small saucepan. Heat gently until melted and combined. Remove from the heat and cool a little. Place the eggs and sugar into a stand mixer with the whisk attachment, or use a handheld beater in a mixing bowl. Whisk on medium speed until thick and ribbon stage is reached. Well, I'll be interested to hear about that. This is where you can lift the whisk and the egg mixture slowly drizzles off and creates a momentary ribbon in the mix. Remove the bowl from the mixer. Add the melted chocolate mixture and use a spatula to gently fold together. Combine the flour, cocoa powder, the baking powder and salt in a bowl, whisking to remove the lumps. Scatter the dry ingredients over the chocolate batter and use the spatula to briefly fold until just combined. Do not over mix. Now half fill the ramekins with the batter. Dollop a rounded teaspoon of berry jam into the centre of each, then top with the remaining batter. Place in the oven and bake for 12 to 15 minutes until the top is set. The cakes should have a little jiggle to them. Place the ramekins on a rack to cool for 10 minutes, then serve while warm. They don't really need anything, as it tells me, to serve because they're rich enough. Maybe a dusting of icing sugar. But I've got one in my bag now, and I'm having it with cream. So, Peter, if you've got some little hints there for us, I'd be very interested to hear them.
Yeah, yeah. Right, you said about the chocolate. I use some 90%. You can get 95% dark chocolate. But yeah. I wasn't quite sure, but I know this is part of the secret of these things.
Yeah.
So 90%.
And is that the chocolate that people buy off the counter, the regular chocolate? It wasn't a cooking chocolate.
No, it's a regular chocolate.
Yeah. Right.
I think it might have been Whittaker's, and it starts at 95, and it goes down in sort of 5 or 10% steps.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And if you eat it, it takes all the saliva out of your mouth.
Right,
of course, you did eat a bit, did it?
Yeah. I'm sure you did.
Right, so that was okay. So everything went okay until this strange bit about the ribbon stage of whisking the eggs and sugar.
Mm.
Well, I whisked them and whisked them and whisked them, and nothing much happened, you see. So in the end, I gave up.
So did you actually get a spoon and pour it like a little waterfall, I suppose, with a...
I just lifted up the beaters to let it run off those and to see if it dripped as a ribbon stage. You could lift the whisk and the egg mixture.
Yeah.
Lift the whisk and the egg mixture. It just didn't thicken up like that. And I mentioned it to my wife, and she said, well, yeah, it will do. So she seemed to know about it.
But okay.
I didn't seek her opinion on that
right,
one.
Right, okay. Righto, carry on.
Anyway, everything, I think I did something slightly wrong order, but it didn't matter making the batter. But so the batter's a lot thinner than than you'd expect, because I couldn't get this thickening.
Oh.
Anyway, so I half filled the ramekins. I dolloped a teaspoon of berry jam, which promptly dropped right through it down to the bottom.
Oh, right, through the mixture.
I don't know if it was supposed to sit sort of in this thicker batter.
Oh.
Anyway, the jam was in there, so I then topped up with the remaining batter, put them in the oven for 12 to 15 minutes, brought them out at about 15 minutes, and my wife was on the scene by this time.
Oh, right, overseeing the job, yeah.
As wives do. And I said, well, what do you think? She said, I'd put them in for a bit longer. I said, well, okay, I could see they looked a bit runny under. They got a crust on the top.
Oh.
So I stuck them in for about another 3 or 4 minutes, and I shouldn't have done, really.
Oh,
as you
right.
will find when you eat it. Absolutely fine.
Yeah.
But if eating them, they don't think that they've been quite so jiggly and oozy. But they're fine, absolutely edible.
I think they would have probably solidified when you took them out the oven, because they're still sort of cooking, aren't they?
I think so, yeah. I think I should have stuck to my guns there.
Yeah, yeah. But never mind. I'm sure you enjoyed them. How many did it make, actually?
It made 4 ramekins.
Oh, 4, of course.
Yeah,
4 ramekins.
Just made 4 ramekins.
Yeah.
My only other comment is I think there's an easier way to make a chocolate pudding.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, it said you could put in a small dish, like a pie dish or something like that. Yeah. But it looks impressive.
Quite successful. Yes.
I'm looking forward to having mine anyway. Good. So thank you very much for that. I'm sure I'll enjoy it.
Oh, there we are then. Well, I think that brings us neatly to the halfway period.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And, well, because you made chicken soup.
Here we go. I'm just about going to guess what this is.
Well, I thought we'd better get it over and done with because I look for something suitable. It's about chicken. Let's get the chicken song done, put away, danced to and put away so we don't have to play it again, shall we?
Well, I'll get my wings ready.
Right, push things back. Off we go. That was speeded up a bit at the end, didn't it?
I know. Gee, I had to stop flapping my wings. I have no, we used to do that often at dances.
It takes you back to Christmases, doesn't it?
It does. But anyway, I've got this recipe, Peter, that was given to me. Well, I went to see a friend and she had some nice morning tea there. And I went, oh, these biscuits are nice. And she said, oh, you did them in the air fryer. And I went, the air fryer? You made biscuits in the air fryer? She said, yes, yeah, I use my air fryer all the time. So they were absolutely lovely. I don't think we've talked about air fryers, but she had a book there. This is an American cookbook, and she's got a large air fryer. And I looked through the book because I thought, I think I'll give one of these recipes out to my listeners. And so I looked at this recipe. I had to make a little bit of an adjustment because it's American. But they're cheddar biscuits, and I thought they might be a good one if you've got an air fryer to have a go. And so we're starting off with 2 cups of flour, 155 grams of butter. Now, if you ever see a recipe for 1 stick of butter, it's an American term. So basically, it's 155 grams because I looked it up. So just in case you've got an American cookbook, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 3/4 of a cup of buttermilk, 1/2 cup of spring onions chopped, half a teaspoon of garlic powder, some cayenne pepper, a quarter of a teaspoon, because that's a lot different to paprika. They're the same colour, but the cayenne is the one that's, you know, you can taste if it's too much. So quarter of a teaspoon and 1.5 cups of grated cheddar cheese. Now, what we're doing is rubbing the butter into the flour like we would do with the scones, you know, rubbing it in so that it looks like breadcrumbs. Add the remaining ingredients to the bowl and mix. Now, you're dividing the mixture into 16 balls, and if you're, well, your air fryer will have a rack. The air fryer I'm talking about had it quite a, was a large air fryer. So just have a look, and you're putting these balls on the airflow racks. Now, you place the rack in the oven. Now, I don't want to sound like to complicate things, but sometimes there's a preset button on the air fryers, so you know what to use. But if there isn't, you can actually press the power button on your air fryer and the baking button. So you're powering on, of course, obviously, and then you're pressing the baking button. Now, that will come at a certain temperature, which is about 175 degrees Celsius, 350 imperial measurement Americans use, and decrease the cooking time for 15 minutes, because if you're pressing the baking button, it will come up on a certain measurement, you know, Celsius or imperial, I don't know, depends on what one you've got. So you can decrease it, but we're looking at 175 degrees Celsius, and then you are cooking it for 15, I think it was 15 minutes, goodness me.
Yeah, you put 15.
15 minutes, mm-hmm. Yeah, 15 minutes. And then I had no photo, the black and white photo, but I didn't get it. But they just look like they sort of, obviously, the ball goes out, they flatten. So, and they served them with fried chicken, which I thought was quite amusing, to be honest. I'd be putting some nice chutney on them or something with a bit of cheese or something like that. But this is a basic one, and I'd be very interested to know if anybody has got an air fryer and they have got, you know, the cookery books with them. But, you know, it's worth a try. And I haven't got one, so I haven't tried one, but I know my neighbour, she swears by her air fryer.
I think we all know somebody that swears by them, or a friend of a friend. And it's not a thing we've got. And a lot of the people like us, we haven't really got room in the kitchen for it.
Exactly.
And, well, we're used to our methods. I've only just started, really, after all these years, using a microwave to any large extent.
Right.
And since we bought the new microwave earlier this year or later last year, I now do all my veg and potatoes, you see, in a Pyrex
Do you? Dish. In the microwave?
Yeah, because so it's not hauling out pans of water.
And no,
I've always
steamed
potato. Oh. But instead of steaming stuff for 20 minutes, you stick it in the microwave, turn your back, and three or four minutes later, it's all done and ready to go.
Oh.
I find it so much better. And I'm sure people would then say to me, yeah, well, if you've got an air fry, do it even quicker.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I got offered one, actually, some time ago. And I thought, no, I'm not going to use an air fryer. I don't want an air fryer. You know, like you say, just another thing. Where am I going to put it? And will I really use it? But maybe if I get offered another one, I'd take it this time. But anyway.
I think you need to, because I think we're going to need that on this program, Gail.
Yes, we
expand
are.
Expand into.
Exactly.
Perhaps Coast Access Radio will fund you a.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Perhaps they won't,
when I pay my fees. Now, I'm going to move on now. So if anybody wants to comment on that air fryer section, please let us know by email. It'd be really great to know. But this one is really easy. It's an easy plum pudding, and it's not one that you steam on the stove in a, a steamer in a little pot like a Christmas pudding. It's 1.5 cups of self-raising flour sifted, 3/4 cup of caster sugar, 3/4 cup of cream, 2 eggs lightly beaten, 1 teaspoon of vanilla essence, and half a 825-gram can of plums drained and halved. But I know they don't come in any smaller cans. That's why it's saying a half, because I know I've brought them before, and they come in that big 825-gram can. Then we're having a third of a cup of flaked almonds and, of course, creme fraiche or custard to serve. So you're preheating your oven to 180 degrees Celsius, lightly grease and flour a 22 centimetre springform pan. In a large bowl, combine the self-raising flour and sugar. In a jug, whisk the cream, eggs and vanilla together. Lightly fold into the flour mixture until it's combined. Spread into the prepared pan and push the plums into the mixture. Plonk, plonk, plonk over the top. Sprinkle top evenly with almonds and bake for 35 to 40 minutes until cooked when tested. So we know how to do that. We put the skewer in and, it, you know, if it comes out clean. Cover with foil, though, halfway through if it's browning too quickly. And cool in the pan 5 minutes, then remove to a wire rack to cool completely. And serve warm in wedges with creme fraiche or the custard. Beautiful.
It doesn't get much simpler than that, does
it? That is very simple, and it's quite impressive. So guess what? Because it's so simple, and I've got a 22-centimetre, you know, loose-bottom tin, that could be me.
Oh, well, that I should be... Think about that next Wednesday morning when I come in.
When I bring you a piece in, you mean, Peter?
Yeah. Now, my plan was to bring you. So I wanted to play about with scone mixtures, making it with plain flour and baking powder and versus self-raising.
Oh, right.
I didn't get around to it. I'm going to. What I did buy, now, listen to this. I bought a. We were shopping yesterday, so I said, I'd better get some tasty cheese. I've got I'll make cheese ones, you see, scones. Right. There was a block of cheese. It was 500 grams of cheddar, tasty cheddar. Was about $10.
Oh, too much.
A block of an 800-gram block was about $10.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that's ludicrous.
It is ludicrous.
You know,
yeah,
500 versus 800 at the same. I know it's expensive, and that's but that's a huge block of cheese.
It
lasts
us
till Christmas, probably.
Well, the thing is, I think you should, you know, like when we say cheddar or whatever cheeses we use, look, if you've got cheese at home, just use what you've got. That's what I say. But I'm just going to butt in here before we go, Peter. I had some friends that I haven't seen for quite some time, and they're down in their big their house bus, and they invited me up for a coffee to catch up. And I thought, I said, I'll bring the scones. And I thought, okay. Our scones that we had gave out the recipe, the apple and date scones. And when I got there, I said, well, I've made some scones and apple and date. So if you don't like dates, stiff cheese. And anyway, we got in there and his partner buttered them and everything. And he ate them and he said, well, I don't like dates much. But he said, these are beautiful.
Well, yeah. There you go.
There we go. So they are a good success too, I might add.
Yes, you mentioned this last week and Chris didn't bring it.
No.
I noticed she also noticed she didn't bring any in. But,
no.
I did toy with the idea of making some myself.
Yeah,
so,
And I did cut up the dates. I didn't boil them. I just said in the recipe, cut your dates up small, put a cup of hot water over the top and let them drain. And I think that might be why Paul actually thought they weren't too bad, because they weren't that obvious, you know, they weren't chewy or anything like that. Anyway, they were nice.
Jolly good.
Another good recipe to try, folks.
Yeah, I mean, they're all stacking up, aren't they? Well, there we are. You've used your allocated 30 minutes,
I think,
very nicely, or we've used it. Well, all I can say is thank you very much.
Oh, it's been great today. We've had lots of, you know, talk back, and it's really good.
Yes, and I've got my buckwheat pancakes sitting in the fridge.
Yeah, don't forget the maple
the brown
syrup.
Rice
the maple syrup over them with banana.
Right.
Beautiful.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you next week then.
You will.
Bye for now. Should I play us? No, I was going to say, should I play us out with the chicken song? But I think we've had enough of that.
I think we have.
Bye. Bye.
This program was made with assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.